Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are back on Get Up. Tom Brady roasted on Netflix last night. Here's the pieces of it we're allowed to show you.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor.
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job. Do another job. Do somebody else's job.
I got to tell you.
His face doesn't move.
We're only allowed to show the clips of it that they sent us. So there was very little to choose from amongst the ones that we could have as we crossed the top of the hour here.
I feel like we should do a roast on Greeny.
Presented by ESPN Bet. What?
I feel like we should do a roast on you.
Are you saying that? You're saying that because you don't know that we did that once, the Mike and Mike roast?
You did a Mike and Mike
roast? Oh, no, let's not go.
Yes, yeah.
Let's move past that quickly. Like, you were there,
I was
right?
there. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was right there.
I was not there.
There are some memories in life that you try as hard as you possibly can to erase from your memory bank. Trust me when I tell you
that. That's what Tom's saying this morning.
In fact, my material for your next roast came from that roast.
Let's move on. Yes, Cindy, roll anything. What do we got? Oh, Cavs magic. Game 7. Thank you. As I'm sweating, Paolo Banchero in the first half had the Cleveland fans sweating. He was sensational. It looked like the Magic might run away and hide.
And what you want in a Game 7, come out and start quick as a road team. It's exactly what they did. They rode Banchero, showed you that versatility in the first half, the deep mid-range, and then this is where he's really improved. His ability to step through, get to the rim, one dribble from the foul line.
He had 24 in the first half. Magic had an 18-point lead, but Cleveland whittled away right before halftime, and then in the third quarter, Jay, Donovan Mitchell happened.
Yeah, 89 points in his last two games in this series, and started playing bully basketball, not settling for jumpers, but actually attacking the rim.
The score in the third quarter was Donovan Mitchell 17, Magic 15. Mm. Cavs took the lead and then never looked back. Much more of it in the fourth quarter. You got Mitchell here.
Got to get up.
Pulling up and knocking it down. And then Darius Garland in the corner. This game wasn't as close as the score seemed. In a momentum standpoint, the Cavaliers completely dominated to the point that their fans were recognizing what comes next. Now, did we think Donovan Mitchell was quieting them because he doesn't want to make Boston mad?
He was trying to respect Orlando, in my opinion. Okay. I think he was trying to show respect to his opponent. This game wasn't over yet. I don't think he's saying, be quiet. We don't want to irritate the Boston Celtics.
That too. But also,
you do that. That's not leadership if you're doing that. I mean, you got to take on all comers.
And here they come. The Boston Celtics, who've been the best team in the NBA all year, are a prohibitive favorite. ESPN Bet has them by a wide margin. The heaviest favorite here, you see the number, minus 1,800. So I can give you some context. The next highest favorite is the Knicks at a price of minus 270. So ESPN Bet does not think it's a series. We'll find out starting tomorrow. Speaking of which, let's go to What's Your Number. Guys, Jay Will, I'll start with you. Pacers-Knicks begins tonight at the Garden. What's your number? How many games do you see this going and who wins?
I say it's going to go 6 due to the Pacers' ability with their depth. I think they're going to push New York, but I have New York winning it in 6.
6 games, says Jay Will, in favor of the Knicks. Legs, who do you like in the series?
I also like the Knicks. I'm going to go 7 games, though. I think distance. I've been loving Indiana for the last 2 or 3 months, ever since they picked up Siakam. I think they're a much more difficult team to defend than people realize, and it's going to take an adjustment period for the Knicks.
Well, obviously, we're watching Jalen Brunson on your screen, and he's been spectacular. We will not ask Wendy to make a pick, as you will be covering every game of this series for us at ESPN. But what are the keys to you? What are the most important storylines going into game one?
Obviously, there's more than this, just these two players, but Haliburton versus Brunson are the faces of the way these team plays. The Knicks want to play slow with Brunson pounding the ball, use up the shot clock, let him go into those 1,000 pick and rolls, get fouled, do all of his things. The Pacers want to move the ball up the court. Halliburton throwing the ball half court, three-quarter court, pushing it, scoring 115, scoring 120, just outgunning the Knicks. The way these two guys play very much will dictate how their teams perform.
All right, we're going to have a full preview of this series coming up, including looking back at the history of the rivalry because it's one of the all-time best. In the meantime, back to Watch Your Number. And Legler, you're next in the West. Mavs, Thunder start tomorrow night. Who do you like and how many games?
I like Dallas in six games. And look, since the trading deadline, I said the Mavericks were going to go to the conference finals, assuming they could avoid the Denver Nuggets bracket. They did that. I think Dallas wins the series. I'm not trying to disrespect or you know, overlook Oklahoma.
Yes, you are. Yes,
I know
you are.
How good they are. My faith is on that guy right there, Luka Doncic, and his partner Kyrie Irving.
How comfortable are we with Luka's condition right now? I mean, his knee, he doesn't look right. We talked about him a little bit earlier this morning. He does not look fully healthy.
He looked fully healthy at the end of the series. He didn't necessarily beginning,
but I think
that's a great sign.
Was it Friday? They asked him if this was the regular season, would you be playing? And he said no. So, I mean, if we're comfortable, yes, he looked good on Saturday night. If he's healthy and they're full strength.
One good thing is that he doesn't require any sort of burst. He can play slow because he's so strong and so skilled and so big, and he's got the IQ. He controls the game in a different way.
I like Dallas in the same amount of games. I think the physicality is going to be a challenge for OKC, Derek Lively, the way these guys play. They're going to P.J. Washington, they push you off your block. That's going to be a question for inexperienced OKC.
How do you expect this series to go, Winman?
I actually think Oklahoma City may have the edge here. Not only do they have home court advantage, if you look at the player-by-player matchups, I think they favor Oklahoma City a little bit. They've got a lot of defensive versatility. Look, Kyrie and Luka could go white hot, and she could outplay him. But Lou Dort, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, excellent perimeter defense. Maybe no team is equipped to handle the Kyrie Luka package better than them. Also, Cason Wallace, who comes off the bench. Don't overlook the Thunder. I actually think any of these four teams alive in the West could win the West.
Well,
I'm obviously favoring some over the others, but any of the four could.
Those are great points. I think Lively and Gafford have a massive impact in this series. Great. Oklahoma City is small, and those two guys, I think, are going to hurt them on the glass and with the lob threat.
Let's go to the other one here. Timberwolves have a 1-0 series lead over the Nuggets. Do we think they hold on and win it? I heard everybody, Big Perk and all these guys yesterday predicting that they're going to win the series. Are you buying it, Jay Will?
I'm still taking Denver in seven. Obviously, the health of Jamal Murray is going to be a critical element here. I think Mike Malone is going to have a lot of different adjustments on what Anthony Edwards, considering it huge game one. When you start digging into it, though, the second game at home for Denver, I think we're going to see a different team engage defensively.
Critical game tonight, Legs. I'm not suggesting the Nuggets can't come back.
Yeah.
They're the defending champs. They're great. But you lose the first two games at home. I'm not sure what the numbers tell us, Hembo, historically, but it's got to be awfully slim, the number of teams that lose the first two games of a best of seven at home and come back to
win. Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet that this series is over. But I'll say this. You're going to get the best punch the Nuggets have in game two. Even if they win that game, if they have to hold on to win it or make a late dramatic shot to win the game, that's a great sign for Minnesota. This is the defending champs. They've got Jokic. Let's see what they come up with in game two. If they win this game and they're in control of it in the fourth quarter, I think everybody's going to start to revisit how this is going to go, because Denver can win one out of two in Minnesota. But if the Timberwolves come close to winning this game or win this game, that's a great sign they're going to go ahead and win the series.
The storyline coming out of Saturday night's game one was all about the Ant-Man. He has just been spectacular. And I want to show you. So Fran Fraschilla is one of our top ESPN analysts, and he's one of the people I respect the most. He is not prone to hyperbole. And he tweeted yesterday, have an NBA friend who coached in 16 straight playoffs, including a couple times against MJ, says Ant is the closest thing he's seen to MJ and Kobe in his lifetime. At 22 years old, he's in that conversation. And Stephen A. Smith agrees.
I got Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves winning this series. I mean, I've seen enough. This brother is he is so sensational, it's hard to put into words. This brother is the truth and a half. He is the real deal.
So, look, I mean, when you start saying someone is the next Michael and Kobe, for people who understand the sport, you're talking about deities, right? I mean, you're literally talking about people who are greater than just great players. There have been a lot of great players in NBA history. But when you start talking about Michael and Kobe, there's something different about it. It's not just how good they are, but it's the demeanor, it's the fierceness, it's the taking over of the games, it's the doing it on both ends. Is Anthony Edwards that?
He is that. It's losing sleep after you lose. That's who Anthony Edwards is. He takes this stuff home. He takes it seriously. He wants to be one of the all-time greats. He's got an edge. He's got a meanness to him. He's got a killer instinct. He's got a no mercy. That's exactly what Michael and Kobe both had. He has it. And now he's adding polish to his game, the combination stuff off the dribble to either get to the rim or to get to a mid-range area of the floor. He's making that shot so consistently now. He's got so much confidence in it. So Anthony Edwards now, 22, with the physical maturity and now the refinement to his game and adding the ability to have a counter to great defense. That's what he is showing you right here in real time.
So some of those Michael clips, just to be clear on where we are, like some of the Michael clips we were just showing you, that first one against the Celtics, that's the 63-point playoff game. He was pretty young. He went to college for 3 years. Michael Jordan didn't get to the NBA till he was 21. But he was his frame, if you looked at the frame there, when he first came into the league, I mean, Anthony Edwards is built a lot bigger than Michael was.
Yeah, he's advanced at this stage of his career, being 22 years old. I think the interesting thing about the version of Anthony Edwards we're seeing now as opposed to the regular season, in clutch moments, he wasn't as efficient offensively. I think sometimes he wasn't as aggressive. But you even watch that shot he had over the right shoulder against KCP. I mean, he's so athletic. He can get to spots. It feels like that's an easy look for him. I think the level of efficiency that's going up is making you start to think about the Michael Jordan-esque like feeling with the way he attacks with his demeanor.
You buying this?
What's fascinating about him is that he plays both ends of the court like Michael and Kobe did, but he does it with sort of an uplifting demeanor, with a smile on his face. I'm not saying he won't scowl ever, but those two guys were always trying to kill with that mean mug. Ant is a much more lighter presence to be around. His teammates love him. He's engaging the fans. And if you look at where his three-point shot was and his outside shot, where it was when he came in the league and where it is now, tremendous improvement. And I think he's only going to continue on that arc.
You know what's crazy about it? Like, do you think he's cocky or confident? Because every time I hear him, even though like he'll wear shades, his, you know, his earrings, it just feels like confidence. Yeah. It's not like I'm overly cocky. It's just I know what I am. Even his question about Michael, he's like, oh, no, Michael's going to give me some, but Michael's going to have to handle me too. Like, it's just who he is.
I think if you're going to be that, you've got to be cocky. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know.
But it doesn't come across as cocky.
I get it. If we're defining cocky in a negative way, then I agree with you. But sure. I'm defining cocky in a positive way. Confidence to the point that it's unrealistic. That's how Michael was. That's how Kobe was. And the answer to everything for Michael Jordan when he was playing was, well, just give me the ball.
Right.
I got this. And I think if Anthony Edwards is going to be that, if that's cocky, then I think cocky is a good thing.
Which is a self-assuredness and a certainty of the outcome. Like, that's what he's experienced. And even, you bring up a great point, what he said about Michael. Even his answers to questions about the Nuggets and the way he's answered those questions, right? He understands who they're playing and how things can turn within a series. So you're not overly deferential. I always call it, you give them the appropriate amount of disrespect. That's basically where Anthony Edwards is, and that's where he should be, because that's what that team is going to feed off of.
Quick final word.
He's not perfect, but there's a purity to the way he looks at the game that is very refreshing.
Yeah, if he's not perfect, I'm not sure who is. I mean, if anyone was ever perfect, he is. He looks like he's headed in that direction. Meanwhile, we're looking in other directions as we continue next. Sixers couldn't do it. Can the Pacers actually slow down Jalen Brunson? Does New York need him to score 40 a night to win this series? We're looking closely at that. Plus, we got a Hollywood mess. LeBron needs a new coach. Did his old coach deserve to get fired? Was Darvin the scapegoat? You're going to hear from Michael Wilbon and more, and they are fired up. Don't miss it. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rolling along, we welcome you back. We are doing Get Up live from the Seaport, as usual, brought to you by Chase. And it's time for this morning's wake-up call. It is showtime. Shohei Ohtani.
A.J. Minter out of the Braves' bullpen. Comes home to Ohtani. Smashes a drive. Center field. Shohei Ohtani. Wing on! 464-foot home run. The fourth hit of the day for the otherworldly. One of a kind. Shohei Ohtani.
I didn't know they measured it because I didn't think it had come down yet. 464 feet. So look, Shohei Ohtani was paid $700 million this offseason. He's paid that to be the best player in the world. He is doing that. He is first in the majors in home runs, extra base hits, batting average, slugging percentage, and OPS, to name just a few. Not pitching this year, but pitching in offensively every possible way. Meanwhile, back to the NBA playoffs, and tonight, a new chapter written in the long playoff rivalry between the Pacers and the Knicks, which in the 90s was as good as basketball got. You remember the games by the moments, by the individuals. The Patrick Ewing game, game 7 in the 94 series against the Pacers. Maybe the single greatest moment and greatest game that Ewing ever had. Then, of course, the Reggie Miller game the following year. I mean, come on.
8 points, 9 seconds?
It is one of the most legendary performances that we've ever seen from any individual player. And then in 99, speaking of legendary, the four-point play by Larry Johnson. This is my favorite shot of it here. Watch the crowd in unison. Boom. On a 3+1 as the Knicks stunned everyone by advancing to the NBA Finals. And then much more recently, it was Roy Hibbert denying Carmelo Anthony as the Pacers would win that series in 6. Everyone thought that year that the Knicks were going to go on and play the Heat and LeBron. Instead, it was the Pacers who wound up playing them very tough. And the genesis of the Paul George, LeBron James thing came from those series. One way or another, Pacers-Knicks, if you're as old as I am, if you played in the league in the 90s, you know that that rivalry is genuinely as good as it gets.
But anything from the 90s involving Pacers-Knicks, I played against both of those teams. It's back when you had to have a crowbar in your sock to get to the rim because it was going to be an alley fight with both of those front lines. That particular series I had an interest in because Derek Harper was my teammate in Dallas. We traded Derek Harper to the Knicks, helped them get to the finals. So I was sort of, even though I was in the league competing against these teams, rooting for my buddy and one of my favorite teammates ever, Derek Harper.
That was the 94 season, yeah.
And playing USA basketball, Reggie Miller, like this disdain he had for the Knicks is still something he talks about to this day, which I just, people authentically being who they are. Didn't like the Knicks, still doesn't.
I was reading yesterday, he and Spike are good now, but that is one of the truly legendary moments. So we had those heroes of years past. So let's see what chapters are authored here. Let me start by getting the man who's going to be writing a lot of them for us at ESPN. Wendy, you're here to cover that series. You'll be at every game, every practice, every everything. You talked earlier in this hour already about Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. What do you think will decide it? What will be the decisive factor in who wins this series?
It's kind of a boring answer, but rebounding, good old-fashioned rebounding, because the Knicks are a great offensive rebounding team. They really need those second chance points because they're not a super high-powered offense. The Pacers are not a great defensive rebounding team, and they need the defensive rebounds to go run the other way and push the Knicks out of their comfort zone. So this series is kind of going to get decided when the Knicks take a shot. What happens when the ball comes off the rim, when the Knicks miss? Whoever wins that, I think, is going to have the advantage.
Yeah, I think rebounding is huge in this series. And as a result of all of the bodies you've got to commit for the Pacers to keeping them off the offensive glass, it's much harder to get out and make it a track meet, which is what they want to do. The star point guards in this series are going to have a lot to do with how this is played. I've been watching Indiana for months and admiring their style of play and knowing how difficult it is to defend them. And I think you get better at it as the series goes, but don't be surprised if early on the Pacers have a lot of success in getting one of those two games in Madison Square Garden, which means it's going to be a very long
series.
Well,
they series. Want to score 120 points tonight, yes. Right? That's what the Pacers want to do.
They want to score 140, but I guess they'll settle for 120.
Even better. Hey, let me ask you this, because you and I both live in this area, right? I live here in New York. I walk the streets. People are getting ready to name their children Jalen in this town. They are renaming some young children Jalen.
Jalen Rose
and
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, can he be that level of special again? And does he have to be for the Knicks to win this series?
Well, yeah, he has to be because he orchestrates so much of the offense. And what I said earlier, you know, people are like, well, he just played against really two tall athletic guys, Nicholas Batum and Kelly Oubre. Aaron Nesmith, the way he defends, the level of discipline, how he fights over ball screens in the half court, and also do not overlook this. Rick Carlisle is an NBA champion as a coach, okay? He's going to throw a lot of different schemes at Jalen Brunson in ball screens on how they might switch it, they might blitz it, they might hard hedge it, they might drop coverage it. The ability for Jalen Brunson to constantly make reads and not get tired with endurance is going to be critical to this series.
Yeah, you know who Rick Carlisle coached in Dallas? Jalen Brunson.
There you go.
Does that make a difference? Does his knowing yes. Brunson as well as he did? I'll remind everyone, he played Jalen Brunson once 10 minutes in a decisive game 7 that his team lost. But put that aside for a moment. Does his knowing him that well, does that make a difference in this series?
I think what makes a bigger difference overall is the chair that Rick Carlisle has been in for as long as he's been in the league.
Just his experience coach.
Yes, and the situations he's navigated in the playoffs in maxing out who he has to deal with a specific matchup. He'll do the same thing in this series. And they've got some really good individual defenders. It's not just Nesmith. Nembhard is another guy.
Great.
That, look, you're not going to stop Brunson alone, but you have to make him work as much as you possibly can to wear him down. They've got multiple guys that can do that.
Well, also, you want to wear him down because he equates to so much of the offense. We were talking about how he reminds you a little bit of Allen Iverson with the 76ers because the ball's in his hands to create so much throughout the course of a game.
On the other side, Tibbs has been coaching since I was a kid. So, I mean, Tom Thibodeau, I love you, Tom. He worked here at ESPN. When he was in between jobs. He's been coaching. He certainly remembers those Knicks-Pacers rivalries. So you got great experience on both sidelines. This has a chance to, I think, be a magnificent series. Speaking of which, the Garden is going to be busy over the next 2 weeks. Game one yesterday, Rangers and Hurricanes in a second-round series. Picked this up midway through the first. Rangers had a big first period. A game was already tied at one, and the Rangers on a power play and ultimately, oh, fancy passing. And that's Mika Zibanejad.
I knew that was Zibanejad.
Legler, are you a big fan of Zibanejad?
Whenever Zibanejad's on the left there in front of the net, that's
second goal of the game. Do you think the bread man's going to deliver for the Rangers here?
Doesn't he always? Bread always came to my house.
Artemi Panarin with a wrister, and it's good. The Rangers take a 4-2 lead. They want to win it by a score of 4-3. They have a 1-0 series lead, and that sets up an interesting little prop that you might like on ESPN bet. The Rangers and the Knicks are both involved here. If they both win their current series, there's a world in which they would then take on the Celtics and the Bruins. So here's the parlay right now, just about 6-1 that you could pick to get an all Boston, New York conference finals in both the NHL and the NBA. Legs,
you can't beat it.
You've just made it very clear. You're an ardent hockey fan.
A big time.
You know everything about
it. I used to be.
I don't even know how many people were on the ice at one time. But I know that the Rangers and that the Bruins and the Celtics don't always deliver on their seed. That I do know.
It's like going to hockey games and having beers.
The Celtics are obviously a heavy favorite to advance in their series with Cleveland. The Bruins are an underdog playing Florida. Yes.
If you can't get teams that genuinely dislike each other, which is make sports better, at least let's get fan bases that
dislike each other. We got that maybe a round away. As we continue, it's the changing of the guard in the NBA. LeBron and Steph and KD are all home watching the young superstars take over. Is the future of this league right now? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. Next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
As we approach the bottom of the hour, welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet, and our next game is called Believe It or Not. Jay Will, if I said the Timberwolves have the best chance to beat the Nuggets of any team remaining in the playoffs, you believe it or not?
I've been saying yes. Yeah. Because of their sides, I've been talking about the Timberwolves. We're finally starting to sell Anthony Edwards like he deserves, but they have the size, and as Wendy alluded to earlier, they also have the schematics in order to challenge Joker, making him perform as a perimeter player in the way they defend him.
You say that they have a better chance than the Celtics would in the finals because the Celtics have been the best team all year.
Yes.
Okay, fascinating to watch. Wendy, let's talk about those Celtics. If I said the Celtics are going to sweep Cleveland in the next round, do you believe it or not?
I say not because I never, ever believe a team is going to get swept. It's just something I always say, and I'm often wrong. I will say the Cavs have played Boston tough over the last couple of years. A few months ago, they had a 22-point fourth-quarter comeback victory. Big factor in this for the Cavs to be competitive. Jared Allen missed the last three games of the last series with a rib injury.
Gentlemen, sweep perhaps. Legs, I'll come to you. If I said LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, the defining players of this generation, are not going to win any more championships. Do you believe that or not?
Believe it. Can't see it happening.
Ooh.
Steph Curry's not leaving Golden State. He'll play his last game in a Warriors uniform, and I just don't know how they're going to rebuild that team to the extent you're going to have to with the level of competition with some of these young teams with young stars in the Western Conference. LeBron and KD, obviously, there's a lot more uncertainty all the time about where they're going to be. I personally think LeBron stays in L.A., and I just don't think, again, relative to the competition at the top of the West, they're going to be able to break through.
Look, there was a really smart tweet that I saw over the weekend because I wrote it. And it said that we're seeing the future arriving in the NBA in this postseason. And here's the proof of it. These 10 teams you see on your screen were the 10 preseason favorites to win the NBA championship. Those were the odds. Only three of them are still playing. Minnesota, meanwhile, was 40-1. The Knicks were 50-1. The Thunder were 70-1. And the Pacers were 200-1. So, Jay Will, if someone were to say, these young stars, the Anthony Edwards and the SGAs and those guys, are on the verge of ripping the league away from the clutches of LeBron and Steph and KD. What would you say?
That they already have. I mean, it's always been the case. I mean, you're mentioning Shea and Luka, Giannis, the Joker. They've already taken the league over by control. We're talking about LeBron James, KD, and Steph. And look, LeBron's always going to be godfather in it, and Steph and KD are still phenomenal players, but they're on the back end of their careers. You're talking about players right now that are on the front end and literally taking the league by storm.
Let me translate. What I think you're saying, and certainly what I would say, is that the media, and maybe to some degree the fans, are late to catch up to this. But the reality is, while we're sitting here talking about LeBron James and Steph Curry, and justifiably so, because they're two of the probably 10 greatest players that ever lived, the truth is the league has moved on, and the young stars have taken it over already.
They have, and then, you know, the three guys that we mentioned and the three guys that were in the question that you teed me up with, think about it. You know, they're home. First round's over.
Yeah.
Those guys are all watching, yeah, all at the same time. This next generation of players take the stage and deliver the goods, because these guys aren't just on good teams that are winning. They're incredibly entertaining in doing it. Look, LeBron and Curry, particularly at the top of the list, they're always going to generate so much interest, right, in so many topics of conversation. We do it here all the time because people are interested in their careers. But if we're being honest about the state of the league, it's in the hands now of this next wave.
To be clear, this is not meant to diminish those guys. I'm a voter. No. I voted all three of them all NBA this year. I forget which teams they were on. None of them were first team. But all three of those guys, LeBron, KD, and Steph Curry, were all NBA performers this year. This isn't about them. It's about the youth. It's about, while the whole world has still been paying, and I'm raising my hand, perhaps that I'm as guilty of this as anyone, still paying attention to those guys, these young guys have come in and they have taken over the league.
They were also on my ballot. And normally when those guys play this well, they carry their teams. They're not able to do it anymore. And that's what's, you look at the Western Conference, look at the teams that are still alive, and I'm telling you, any of them can win the West because they've got these young star players. I can't say that about those guys, about mm-hmm. LeBron, KD, and Steph anymore. And that is the state of play where we are. And if you want to look at the league going forward, spend the time to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yes, spend the time to watch Anthony Edwards.
And we're talking about, like, the names that are coming up are Ant and Luka and Shai and Joker. Brunson belongs in that category, yes, as a young player. Tyrese Halliburton is a guy.
This afternoon, the NBA is going to name Victor Wembanyama.
There's another
rookie
one of the year.
Rookie of the year. And pretty soon we'll be talking about Victor in May as well.
Yeah. So we've got dynamic young stars ready to take this league by storm in every way, and perhaps they already have. To that point, I'm just thinking through my first team All-NBA ballot. I think this will be the first five. Of those, I think Giannis is the only one who's not still playing, right? Jokic is still playing. Giannis, Jason Tatum, Luka, and SGA.
I had Mr. Brunson.
You put Brunson ahead of
SGA.
Ahead of Tatum, which is not a commentary on Tatum, but a commentary on the value of Brunson.
I had people telling me I should have done that. Maybe I should have.
Can I ask my friend a basketball question?
Please do.
If you had one pick right now, who would you take, Jason Tatum or Anthony Edwards?
Ant.
To start a team with?
Yeah.
Yeah, between those two guys. Yeah.
Let me get to that question in a minute here. I'm going to get you there sort of a roundabout way. Because someone said to me yesterday, you know, Greeny, if we were to vote for playoff MVP right now, who would win? And I said, well, why don't I put together a list of those? I showed it to you earlier. For those of you just joining us, here they are. If I were voting for my MVP of the playoffs right this minute, I would vote Donovan Mitchell fifth. I would vote Joel Embiid fourth. I know they lost, but I don't know how much more he could have done under the guts that he showed you with all the injuries and everything else he played through. At three is the Joker. At two is the sensational young Anthony Edwards. And at one is Jalen Brunson, because to me, you can't carry a team. You can't be more, quote, valuable to your team than Brunson was in that first round series. That said, I want to merge these two conversations, because this is the more interesting one. If you were starting a team right now, and I said you need to pick one player for the next 10 years, this is the guy who is going to carry my franchise for the next decade, the way Steph Curry has, and guys who stayed in one place for that level of time. Any one player in the NBA today, who would you pick?
Victor Wembanyama.
It would be Wembanyama ahead, and who would be second?
It would be Anthony Edwards. I'd probably go Anthony Edwards second, and very close with Luka. That to me is a coin toss. I'd be okay losing that coin toss and taking the other guy. But Victor Wembanyama, to me, I think is the answer.
All right, so put up the picks there. Everybody in this conversation, including me, took Wembanyama. He's the next one, right?
How
the future of the NBA is French.
I mean, he's an alien. I mean, it's honestly, you watch this skill set on the court. It seems like every year we keep talking about the skill set becoming more and more and more refined. The game of basketball has never seen somebody with his size and his skill set combined in the way he impacts the game
on the defensive end.
So that's fair. So then let's say in a world in which you can't take him because he really almost does, almost shouldn't count.
Let's come to the second pick. Let's come to my pick.
Right.
That's where I live.
It almost, that's right. You were the second pick. And you got drafted behind a guy who was 7'5".
Yes, I'm familiar with this.
How tall was Yao Ming? Who was taller?
7'6".
Yao Ming? Was Yao Ming as tall? Who was taller? Wembanyama or Yao Ming?
I think Yao.
I think Yao's
Yao. I'm screwed either way.
Well, one way or the other. Fair enough. You were the second pick because the other guy was huge. So now we're going to do the same thing. Who's the second pick in this? If we're all taking Wembanyama, who's the second pick to start a team
I'm going with the guy that has that Jordan-esque feel. I'm going with Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards right now would be the second player you would start a franchise with out of everyone in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah, I just like what he brings on both ends. I like the fact that first opening possession, he's guarding Jamal Murray. Like, even though he didn't guard him the entirety of the game, it's like, just in case I see you, I want you to know I'm willing to take you on right now. Like, that's meaningful to me. We don't see that as much in basketball because we're a highlight-driven culture that only gives you all the offensive highlights. I like the dog in him on both sides.
It would be Anthony Edwards for you?
The finish is about as close as the Kentucky Derby with Luka for me.
You're a huge Luka fan.
Oh, I am. Because
the one thing Luka's not going to do, and I know that people were praising his defense in that series, he's not going to D you up the way Anthony Edwards.
He's not that level of defender athletically, no, but the way in which he controls the other end of the floor, and I don't think there's an answer for him at all in what he wants what he wants to do offensively to you. There just isn't. He's too strong. He's too good a shooter, and he's too smart. He's two steps ahead of you. So I would be okay. Like I said, I'd be okay with that coin toss not going my way. And if I end up with the second guy in this draft of future stars and I end up with Luka, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Winman, if this draft actually existed, if the whole league just decided they were going to do this, who do you think would be the second pick? I assume we all think Wembanyama would go one, right? Who would go two?
I think it would be Ant, but don't forget that Ja Morant is still out there.
Oh.
Ja is still a very exciting young player. And also, this could be the summer of Jason Tatum. He was overlooked because they were so good this year. He could win the finals. He could win the finals MVP. He could get he's going to get a $300 million contract this summer, and he could win the gold medal. We could be getting to the fall talking about a coronation of Jason Tatum. Don't forget that.
Yeah, he's a little older than these guys, but the Ja Morant one is an interesting one. You know, out of sight, out of mind. We all know he has been gone so much of it of his own doing. We get all of that. But he is a player who, at his best, did have future face of the NBA. It sort of looked like it was written all over him, right? He was that level of good.
Well, the thing that makes him incredible is that size and that frame, right? And you can see, obviously, being injured, durability is going to be a big question for him considering he's such an acrobatic talent. We've kind of seen that before with Derrick Rose. But if he can stay healthy, he's a game changer.
Very few players' legs have better highlights than Ja Morant, right? Very few.
No, there's no question about it. I think durability is a massive factor when it comes to Ja Morant. I think one thing about Tatum, I'll say this, one thing that actually hurt him in this conversation is getting him so much help that they're such a prohibitive favorite to win it all. And winning 64 games on a 14-game lead in your conference, it actually works against him in this conversation where some of these other younger guys have a chance to do something in taking a team all the way across the finish line at an age in which Jason Tatum was always coming to the threshold and the precipice but couldn't break through. Yep. And now they've gotten so much help that actually is something that hurts him in this conversation.
We'll see his game 2 on Thursday night. ESPN's coverage of the playoffs will be back Thursday. His game's every night this week, but we will have Thursday with a doubleheader. Game 2, Cavs and Celtics. And then the Mavs and Thunder, that will also be game 2. Coverage will begin with NBA Countdown, 6:30 Eastern and on the app. Coming up, LeBron needs a new coach. But did his old coach actually deserve to get fired? Did they scapegoat Darvin Ham? We'll answer that question. And then we'll see if Legs can answer this one. He's been hot against Hembo. Here's the question. Who's the only player in NBA history to average 30 in the playoffs before turning 23?
Wow.
Years old. It's a good question.
That's a great question.
Answers next.
Got something going on.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. There is an enormous amount of debate in the studio this morning over this question. So, who's the only player in history to average 30 points in the playoffs before turning 23 years old? I will mention, just I'm giving one small thing away, Anthony Edwards is at 29.8 right now.
You got it, right?
That's what brings up the question. Now, minimum 10 games.
No help, by the way, from Wendy.
Well, get Jay Will in here. You got to get on the spot, too.
Coherent answer did I get out of either one of these guys?
Let's think it through.
Minimum
of 10 games before turning 23. So people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, those guys played full college careers.
Yeah.
So think about before turning 23 years old, those guys barely came in the league.
So you're talking about two different categories of play. There's either has to be a guy that came out after 1 year, which would have given him like three seasons to get to this level.
Correct.
Or a guy that came out, say, you know, when he was 21, and had to do it almost right away.
Right.
That just seems unlikely to me.
Come on, you got a good guess.
So I'm going to go with Allen Iverson.
That's one guess.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Kobe Bean Bryant, Allen Iverson. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have the top seven, and neither one of them are in it.
I knew that.
So that wasn't close. Who's your favorite player to watch? Who do you rave about all the time to me? Luka Doncic.
Come on. That's the answer?
At 30 and a half points a game, Luka, followed by...
You said Kobe to beat me up?
Well, I don't know. It's followed by Anthony Edwards, Trae Young, Ja Morant, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James.
Wow, Trae Young.
It's like a game show host. So smart when I got all the answers in front of me.
I mean, there is an advantage.
The condescension.
It's so good.
Right? It reminds me of the late, great Alex Trebek, right? Oh, you got all the cards in front of you now.
It makes you feel very smart. In the meantime, legs, let's see how smart you are. Let's play legs for three. Let's talk about three things you want to see happen this offseason. Okay, let's start in Philadelphia. What do you want to see happen for the Sixers?
No, they got to add a third scorer, whoever that may be. A lot of names are going to come up. Obviously, Paul George, we've already talked about today. His name will come up. There's other guys out there, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, Miles Bridges, like there's guys out there that can put the ball in the basket. They need a reliable third scorer to help out and beat in Maxey in the postseason.
All right, let's go then to Orlando. They get knocked out yesterday. What do they need this offseason?
They need a point guard. And look, if you've got a good one and a veteran, they don't grow on trees and people aren't willing to give those up. But their guard play, I love Suggs defensively. He's not a natural lead guard. None of their guards are. They're all combo guards. I would like to see them get somebody that can help them set the table and facilitate offense for Banchero and Wagner, who I thought even yesterday was exposed a little bit when he has to handle the ball that much.
It was painful to watch them in the second half try to figure out some offense. And then how about Victor?
Let's just get some talent, some veteran talent around him. Let's get this process moving forward at a little bit of a faster rate. It's funny, we all just mentioned him as the guy we would start a franchise around. What'd they win this guy? 15 games, I think they won this year. I mean, they're so far from competing and contending and being relevant as a team. Let's get some veteran talent around him and see if we can take a leap forward this year.
All right, we'll see what they're able to do around their young superstar. Meanwhile, let's go to LA and talk about aging superstars. LeBron James and Anthony Davis need a new coach. You saw this Friday afternoon, Darvin Ham fired after two seasons, both of which ended in playoff losses to the Nuggets. And a lot of people did not feel good about the way this was handled or the way Darvin Ham was handled. And one of those people was our Michael Wilbon.
You know what? I'm angry. I've known Darvin Ham for a long time. And you're right. He's a great guy. And he's a pretty damn good coach. because he took a team that had done nothing the year before, missed the playoffs, and last year they got to the conference finals with him, and everybody had praise for him, including LeBron and Anthony Davis. And now all of a sudden they, and I'm talking specifically to the two of them now, they blame him. Their public comments are inadequate. Let me just say this. If you want to be the GOAT, you want to tell everybody you're the GOAT, you're the greatest player of all time, you want to have it on podcasts, you want to have it, then take accountability like one. Do that.
Mm. That was from Friday's PTI. Is that fair? Is that a fair representation of what just happened here?
He's not wrong. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and say Michael Wilbon's wrong when you look at the number of head coaches LeBron James has had. Look, the one thing I was taught as a player is that, and I get it, I didn't play 15 years in the league, but it always starts with what you can do first, you and your team, instead of going to the player. And the reality is, that, look, I think there were levels of adjustments that were missed, especially after the in-season tournament. They lost 10 of 13 games due to personnel and rotations. But I can't disagree with Mike Wilbon.
Look, at the end of the day, a coach is judged by how far he or she takes their team. I think you could say Darvin Ham in his two seasons took this team as far as it was going to go. They made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. They drew Denver this year, which is a brutal matchup, and they played them in five tough games. They had leads in all five of those games at halftime. So I think it's inarguable that Darvin Ham did a good job. This problem may actually supersede, at minimum, it predates LeBron and Anthony Davis. Can we put that full screen up there, Cindy, that I just saw? Wendy, this job is a revolving door. Look how many different people have coached this team since Phil Jackson left. Mike Brown, Bernie Bickerstaff, Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, and Darvin Ham. That's in the last 13 years they've had that many coaches. So maybe this isn't as good a job as fans might sort of think in their head that it would.
No, I'm calling it like being vice president, because you're third or fourth in charge. It's a great prestige title. You get to fly around on an awesome plane. You don't get paid that great, and you get blamed sometimes for stuff. So yeah. And you never get credit. Forget about that. Frank Vogel won a title. Gone. Like, he got no benefit of the doubt. Here's the problem. I think the Lakers achieved appropriately this year. Could they have done better? Yes. I don't think it was a bad job. And the other thing is, I'm not sure that they can dramatically improve their situation. Not that they can't make a trade to bring in some more talent. Look at the Western Conference. The Western Conference is brutal. And I think if you're going in there and interviewing for that job and you're like promising that you're going to like make a big step, who are the Lakers passing, who is in front of them? And look in their rear view. There's some teams coming up hot on their tail. So this is just a hard, hard job, and Darvin is the latest to learn that.
And so, look, the bottom line of it is this. If we're trying to figure out who might be next, the reports are Ty Lue is about to sign a big extension, you told me.
They want to sign him. Okay. I think that's what will happen, but yeah.
Okay, so
they want to sign him, but if you're the Lakers, you go and you do everything in your possibility.
Well, but Wendy just told us they don't pay like that.
I hear you. I'm just trying to tell you.
They can't get him because even if Ty doesn't extend, he's under contract for next year, and the Clippers ain't letting him walk across the hall.
All right, and this morning, Jason Kidd signed an extension in Dallas, right? Got an extension. The wording I'm using is correct. He got an extension.
The Mavericks announced it. It's legit and official sign.
Okay, done. So, I mean, those were two of the names that came up earlier. So the point is, who is it that you hire now if you're LeBron and AD and Jeannie Buss and everybody else out there? Who do you hire that might take this team to one more title at the very end?
Kenny Atkinson?
Okay, well,
I mean, I know you may mention him, Monty Williams.
I was
before.
Thinking of J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. works with us. He's got the podcast with LeBron. His name has been thrown around.
So let's just call
him. We all know him. He's one of the smartest people you'll ever come across in your life. I mean, I don't know. I'm not hoping that he leaves. He's obviously great for us here. But that name has to come up, right, with his relationship with LeBron.
You would think so. You get an experienced staff. I mean, but it's still coming down to LeBron James putting somebody in that seat and the influence that LeBron James has over the in-game adjustments as well.
Well, so what are you saying to me? You're saying that LeBron James...
It's a player-coach
there
team.
There was a time
it's
when there were players...
Team.
There
this
used to be a thing. Player-coaches used to exist.
Yeah. No, he exists with LeBron.
It's existed his entire career.
Yes.
We've had one for the last 20 years. I mean, let's not fool ourselves. It's his show. and what they run. And that's why even like some of the criticism that they would give Darvin Ham for like late game sets and things they didn't run, like LeBron is in control every bit as much as anybody else in that organization with what happens possession by possession. Here's the problem for Lakers.
Quickly.
It's not going to matter. Think about it. This year we were just saying avoid Denver, right? The one team we said, guess what? Add teams to that list next year. Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Dallas.
That's fair. First Take's coming up next. I got to get ready for Stephen A. and company. Could the Knicks be in trouble against Indy? How much trouble are the Nuggets in? First Take, Stephen A., Shannon, Big Perk, and more top of the hour here on ESPN. Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN, and in part by Simply Spiked, celebrating the juiciest moments in sports. 21 plus contains alcohol. Celebrate responsibly. That's all the time we have. See you tomorrow. First Take starts now.